Are some thoughts too deep? This is Dr. Herbert O'Varley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with the Absolute Philosopher. Are some thoughts too deep? It's a good question, isn't it? Are some thoughts too deep? What thought could be too deep? What thought could be too intense that it just drives us up the wall? What thought could be so magnificent and so outstanding and so threatening, you might say, that it causes us to be very unhappy or feel unstable when we're thinking about the thought? Are these thoughts such as, who am I, where am I going, why am I here, what is my purpose in life, and things like that? Those are great thoughts, aren't they? And there are thoughts that everyone has from time to time. There are thoughts that pop up in our mind and say, aren't you going to give me an answer? Aren't you going to come up with some sort of response? And we say to ourselves, no, we're not. No, we're not. Who am I? What difference does it make? Why am I here? What difference does it make? Where am I going? And what difference does it make? Where did I come from? What difference does it make? What are the purposes and the directions of everything on earth? What difference does it make? What difference does it really make to have all these intense questions that sometimes come into our mind and we sometimes feel we have to answer? What difference does it make? Now, we can live a normal human life, and we can live by good values, and we can have a very positive, enjoyable life with lots of adventures going on in it, and lots of seeming little tragedies and little joyous things going on. And as we do that, we are satisfied and we're content. And then when we begin to worry about who are we, where have we come from, where are we going, we seem to be knocking against an area that is totally unknown to us. It's totally unrevealed to us. We just don't know. And what sort of thoughts are we to think about? The divine thoughts, the absolute thoughts. If I were to say to you, in all sincerity, I have a drop of water. What is the purpose of this drop of water? Where is this drop of water going? Where did this drop of water come from? Why is this drop of water here at all? Is this drop of water going to do good things in the world, or is it going to do bad things in the world? What is this drop of water all about? And you'd say, well, what a silly thing to say. No. That's no more silly than questioning into the absolute and trying to understand the absolute. The absolute is a condition of our life in which we are aware of who we are. We are aware of all that we are, the universality of who we are, and we are untouched by it. Now, that is the big difference. We are untouched by our universality. We are very much touched by our relativity. The very word relative means to be touched. We're very much touched by the relativity. We're very much touched by the relative world. Because in the relative world, we are always doing something and doing it for a purpose and doing it because it must be done or must not be done. And we're always doing it with values attached to it. Now, in the absolute, there are no values. There is no right and there is no wrong. There is no purpose or lack of purpose. All things are. We use the word just are, but all things are without having any purpose or value or anything else about them. Now, that's a very That's a very problematic thing to think about. That's a very demanding thing to think about. We think that's a little bit too deep to think about. We think it's too deep to think about absolute and to think about the allness and the isness and the nothingness. We think that's just beyond our comprehension, our imagination, our awareness. Well, the truth is, it is not beyond our comprehension, our awareness. It's not beyond our imagination. It's not beyond anything. It's what we are. We play the game of existence in what we call life, and the life that we live, that we call our existence, is just a little touch on the edge of the total awareness. We know something greater is there. We know something more magnificent exists. And we know that there's something that's more magnificent that exists, and it must be pretty wonderful. And so, if we are wise, we will take this awareness that it must be pretty wonderful and equate that awareness to all in our relative world. We'll equate that awareness of judgmentalness, untouchability, an attitude of freedom about us. We'll take that, and as we do that, we will come up with some very exciting possibilities. We'll come up with the possibility that everything we do is good. Everything we do is fun. Everything we do is exciting. Everything we do is whatever it is we do, and it's okay. Everything we do is really pretty magnificent. Okay? Now, I am going to the store to buy a loaf of bread. How mundane can you be? I'm going to the store to buy a loaf of bread. So, here I am, the allness, the isness. Here I am, the magnificence of the universe, going to the store in a very limited concept, context, realization, in a very limited attitude, to buy a loaf of bread. One loaf of bread. So, I go to the store. Now, the store is some distance from where I am. And as I go there, I arrive at the store, and I either have walked or I park in the parking lot, and I go into the store, and I see row upon row of bread. I see bread with hard crust. I see bread with soft crust. I see white bread. I see wheat bread. I see rye bread. I see buttermilk bread. I see bread of every distinction that you can imagine. And even there, I don't see all the bread that exists. I only see the bread that this store chooses to have on display because it's bread that people come in and ask for and buy. Now, am I being honest with myself? I'm going to buy a loaf of bread. Now, it was not told to me what kind of bread I should buy. It was not made known to me what kind of bread I should consider. Perhaps the amount of money I had in my pocket made the difference, but that's not true, because I had a credit card, and I was going to buy the bread with a credit card. Buy bread with a credit card? Sure. And as long as I'm here at the store, I might as well buy some peanut butter and jelly for the bread, too. And, of course, a little bit of butter might be good for the bread when I don't use peanut butter and jelly. Or I might like to take along some eggs and make some batter and make some French toast out of the bread. Or I might like to take the bread and take some cheese and make some toasted cheese sandwiches. Or I might want to do a great variety of possibilities. Now, can I begin to conceive of the possibilities that I'm going to do or could do over that piece of bread, over that loaf of bread? I haven't even discussed the possibility of which store I'm going to go to. If I'm in a little town with one store, there's no discussion. Although I could go to the big town, not far away, and go into their dozen or more stores And I could go into the bread store that sells only bread. I could go into the bakery, and I could consider all the possibilities that they have. And I could, the endless possibility. Are some thoughts too deep to think? Now, you know and I know that's not true. There's no thought that's too deep. There's no thought that's too deep or too wonderful to think. Every thought that we consider is a thought that reaches into the allness. It reaches into the isness, and it reaches into the nothingness. It reaches into the multiple possibilities that thoughts can do. Now, what are the multiple possibilities that thoughts can do? Well, that in itself is a never-ending possibility, too. When I begin to say that anything is too big to be thought, what I'm doing, I'm putting a limit on it. And I don't want to do that. What I want to do is to be free. What I want to do is to be open. What I want to do is to allow my mind to just take the thoughts that come and enjoy them. All is in divine order. When I begin to make that simple statement, all is in divine order, then I find that all the thoughts that I think are beautiful, glorious, uplifting thoughts. When I say all is in divine order, then I say that every single thing I think about is balanced. When I say all is in divine order, then when I go to get a loaf of bread, I don't have to think what loaf of bread I'm going to get. As I go to the store, I can enjoy the scenery as I drive along or walk along. I can enjoy the flowers, the trees, the plants, the birds, the wonderful chestnut trees. I can enjoy all of these things. And as I enjoy them, I know what and who they are. I know that they are fantastic. I know that they are miraculous. I know that they are great. And I haven't even arrived at the store. And now I walk into the store. And as I walk into the store, I say, what did I come here to buy? Because my mind was thinking about many other things. And so I think, oh, I came here to buy some bread. So I will go to the bakery department. And in the bakery department, I'll find shelves upon shelves upon shelves of bakery. And I'll find breads of a great number of descriptions. Well, I particularly like rye bread with a crusty crust on it. And so I go to the bread department, and I go to the rye bread area, and I go to the crusty department, and I pick out a nice loaf of rye bread with crusty crust on it. And I take that rye bread home, and my family says, wonderful, that's just what we wanted. Now, how did I know? How did I know? I knew by saying, all is in divine order. And when anyone in my world comes up to me and says, that's not what I wanted, you didn't do what I wanted, that's not the thing that I was thinking about, then all is not in divine order. I did not say all is in divine order before I made my action. I did not say all is in divine order before I went to the store, and as I was going to the store, and as I was in the store. When I always say all is in divine order about everything I do, then there is no thought too deep, no thought too high, too light for me to consider, because they're all in divine order. And I will take my choices from my daily activities in divine order. I know this is Saturday, and on Saturday I don't have to go to work. On Saturday I can stay home and do things around the house, and I can do things around the garden. On Saturday I can listen to the sports games on the radio or television if I wish. On Saturday I can visit with my neighbor over the fence, and I can talk about nothings and enjoy a casual time together. On Saturday, I can take my family to the beach, or I can take my family to the mountain and go skiing. On Saturday, I can do many things. Saturday has its realm to it. And because Saturday has its realm to it, I participate in it. Now, there's nothing too deep for that. There's nothing too high. I say to my family, we're going skiing in the mountains. How wonderful. And the family goes, wow, great, great. Everyone starts running to get their ski gear and get them all ready. And then the neighbor next door says, oh, Herb, yeah? Don't forget now, 2 o'clock, we're having our big backyard party, and you're the guest of honor. Oh, hi, yes, okay. All is in divine order. So you go back and you say to your family, family, I forgot. Fred is having a backyard party today in honor of me, and it's going to start at 2 o'clock. So instead of going skiing, we're going over to Fred's house, and we're going to enjoy this barbecue just in honor of me. And the whole family, because they love me and I love them, and we always do everything in divine order, they say, Dad, how great. Oh, how wonderful. Oh, Dad, I'm so proud of you. Dad, I know all the world thinks the world of you because we think the world of you. Dad, that's going to be the funnest barbecue. And everybody enters into it. Not one dissenting word, not one dissenting attitude saying, I was ready to go skiing. I was all in my mind, all set to go skiing. They just instantly changed from being ready to go skiing to have the afternoon on the barbecue because it was something special for their father. It was something special for themselves and their family. It was a time of showing honor to someone in their world. And what might have been a grumbling affair was a happy tumbling affair of joy and marvelous and a good, good dinner. Wow, beautiful, barbecued ribs and all that stuff. Oh, wow. Now, you see, when I say all is in divine order, I cannot even begin to imagine what divine order was going to bring into my world. All I know is that it's exciting and it's wonderful, and the door is always open, and the door is always wonderful. Now, if I were to think and meditate upon it, let's see, what shall I do today? Where shall I go? Having forgotten about Fred's invitation for the barbecue, what shall I do? What shall I do? Well, as long as I worry about things, as long as I anticipate things, as long as I am unaware of all being in divine order, then I live a life of a lot of anxiety, a lot of worry, a lot of tension, a lot of feeling of insecurity. And that in itself is certainly not a very happy time. So today, I live my life in divine order. And there are no thoughts too deep for me to think because I think any thought I think, and it's in divine order in my thought process to think about it. And I love it every moment of the day, for it is wonderful and very wonderful. Join with me in realizing that with the absolute philosopher, as each of us are, all thoughts are right for us to think about. None too deep, none too shallow, all just right. Have a lovely day and know that I love you. I love you. I love you.